your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to take the lesson from tonight. And as you're turning there, what you will find there is the parable of the prodigal son. And this is a parable that we've all been brought up with from Bible class, you know, from our very young youth. And we all know the story. But the beauty of the Bible is that these stories are timeless. And as we age and mature, we can apply them to our lives in new and different ways that we didn't think of when we were young children. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to reread this parable, and then we're going to think about two different ways in which we can apply the story to our lives. So if you would begin, I'm going to begin in verse 11 of chapter 15 from the Gospel of Luke. And it says, and this is Jesus speaking, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed his swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." And we'll stop right there. The first thing that I want to draw to your attention is back in verse 12. We'll notice that the father, when the son makes this request, to the father to divide his possessions and give him his inheritance, the father lets him. Now, how many of our fathers would do that? If we went to our father and said, "I want my inheritance now, and I want you to give it to me, and I'm going to go off to this far-off place, and I'm not going to talk to you or tell you what I'm spending it on," how many of our fathers would say, "Sure, here's half of my stuff. Here, I'm going to sell half the house and give you the proceeds, and you go off and do what you want"? Not very many. I would say probably none. I know mine wouldn't, but that's for sure. So what that tells us, first off, is that, and this is what we all know, is that the story is analogizing, if you will. God is the father in the story, and we are the prodigal children if we sin. But the thing that I want to emphasize is that God is a respecter of our free will. Like I said, not many fathers would do this, but God, respecting our free will, he allows us to go and sin. It's our sin, but he allows us to do it. It's something that he despises, something that he is very, very critical of. In fact, he will punish us eventually if we do not turn from it, but he does let us do it. He has sent many teachers. He has performed miracles. And he has given us his word and telling us that sin is wrong and I am God and you should not sin. But even so, he says, if you, given all that, if you still want to sin, I will let you do it. But there are consequences. And that's something that the young man realized. But this isn't the only time that we see this in the Bible. There are others that want to serve God, but they're not willing to give up the life that they have here for it. If you will turn to Romans 1 and go to verse 26, it says, "For this reason, God gave them up to their vile possessions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Now, God giving them over to vile passions, some people think that this is God having an active agency in their sin, but it's not. It's God allowing them to pursue what they want to do. Now, this is just another example, and then you have the rich young ruler who goes to Jesus and says, you know, what can I do to follow you? What should I do? And Christ says, give up all your possessions and follow me. And he's not willing to do that. But Christ doesn't run after him and say, you will be lost if you don't give up all your possessions. He lets him go. So, and that's the same thing that we saw in the prodigal son in the parable. And that brings us to the second point. And that comes from verse 17 in Luke chapter 15. If you go turn back over to verse 17, it says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? It says he came to himself. So last time we saw this son, he was this, excuse the expression, he was a punk kid who wanted his father's inheritance. And so coming to himself, coming back from where he was, isn't a very good place. So I think what Jesus is trying to say here is that coming to yourself is coming back to what God wants you to be. We are all made in God's image. And God, his very nature, despises sin. He can't come into contact with it. So when we sin, we are no longer in his image. We are warped into something different. And the only way that we get back into God's good graces is to becoming like him again. And the only way to do that is to see life and the lives that we live through God's eyes. And that's what the prodigal son did. You see that he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He has lived this life of debauchery, this prodigal life, and he realizes that he is no longer to be called his father's son. Just like when we sin, we are no longer to be worthy to be called God's children. But when he is willing to accept the consequences of his sin and realize that he is lost, is when his father accepts him back. Now, I'm pretty sure that if he went back to his father and said, I'm out of money, there's this big famine, I need more, his father would probably say, turn away from me, I don't know you as my son. And that's something that we need to remember, too. And because that's the same thing that Christ will say when we go to him and say, when we say, you know, I did all these things in your name, but if we don't understand that we are lost without him, then he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So, and that's really the lesson that we have all been taught from when we were in the Bible classes, that no matter what we do, as long as we are truly penitent and confess our sins, that God will take us back. But we have to do it in the right way. And we can't just, it's not a magical phrase saying, you know, I repent of my sins. You have to hit the lowest of the low and realize that you are in a lost condition and that your sins have made you the lowest of the low, and that you have to bring yourself into an humble state so that you can be rejoined with your father in his house. And you'll be escalated to something more than a slave, but be an honored guest at his table. So, if you just remember these two points, as well as what you've always been taught, I think you'll be it's very beneficial. And if you have been like the prodigal son, and you have wandered away your life, and you have not been keeping your life in accordance with what God would have you, then I would encourage you to come back and make those sins known if they are of a public nature. Make them known to the brethren here, and we will do our best to help you turn your life around. Or if you, we didn't talk about the prodigal son's brother, but he stays at home, and he says, how come you give my brother this fatted calf when I've been here the whole time? Well, you can see that he is not seeing life like he should through God's eyes. If he had been, he would have rejoiced with his father that his brother had returned. But no, he says, you know, where's mine? And you can see that people today in the church, if you're just sitting in the pew and haven't been baptized yet, you're like that brother. you have not experienced, if you have experienced sin and don't recognize it, then you are just as lost as the prodigal son who went away. You are lost at home. So to remedy that and to be saved, you have to be baptized and enter into the fold of safety, which is God's grace, and that's only through baptism. So if you have any one of those needs or any other need that you may have, I would encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.